So for our Wednesday food segment, Celeste, it begins with a culinary question. Is there actually a season for this kind of food? Well, yes, as the temperatures drop, as the parking lots around the football stadiums proliferate with tailgate parties, yes, chili does have a season, and it's sort of loosely associated with the fall, wouldn't you say?
Kind of. I mean, except unless you have chili dogs over the summer.
That's right. And chili actually is about as Mexican a dish as this music that we're hearing. Can you raise that just a little bit, Tim? Yeah. I found a definition of chili from a Mexican dictionary published in 1959. Detestable food passing itself off as Mexican, sold in the U.S. from Texas to New York. And so to explore the culinary origins of chili, we've invited, of course, Melissa Clark, takeaway contributor and food writer for our partner, the New York Times, in the studio. Hello, Melissa.
Hi.
I smell chili. And also Bryant Terry, takeaway contributor and author of Vegan Soul Kitchen, fresh, healthy, and creative African-American cuisine. And Bryant, you're out in San Francisco.
I am.
And
yes.
So we had our producer, Jen Poyant, cook your chili recipe, and the smell is fantastic here in the studio.
And the taste.
Absolutely. Well, I haven't tasted yet. I'm going to wait.
I did already.
Let's talk a little bit about sort of chili philosophy. Melissa, what have you prepared for us, and how does it reflect your particular zealotry about what you do and don't do in cooking chili?
Well, you know, I've actually journeyed with chili over the years. This is the classic chili that I consider my favorite. It has no beans. It has just chili and meat. And I learned about this chili when I was reading a book called I think it's called A Big Bowl of Red, and it's about Texas chili. And that book taught me to only make chili, have a purist chili, and the idea is you just want to season the meat really, really well. You want deep spice flavor. And so this is what I do, and I serve it over rice, and it is minimalist. You know, it's just, like I said, chili, spice, and I use short ribs here, which kind of fall off. You know, they get like a shredded texture, really soft meat. It kind of falls off the bone. So there's no ground meat in this either. So this is kind
is
of
slow cooked, right?
Slow cooked. It took 4 hours.
Mm. Mm. Now,
spicy.
What is the chili
Very
spice?
Spicy. Now, so what I did, instead of using regular chili powder, I got whole dried chilies. There's ancho chili in here, and there's pasilla negro chili in here. And then there's some ground up guajillo and New Mexican chili powder.
All readily available.
You can get dried chilies
all over New York.
And you can get them on the internet. And they're really inexpensive, and they pack a lot of flavor.
I should say, factoid, in 1977, the chili manufacturers of the state of Texas officially made chili the official food of Texas, the state food of Texas.
With
the
beans
only
or without?
Real bowl of red without.
Without beans. Here we go.
Okay, Bryant, your chili do's and don'ts, Bryant Terry, in front of me is your vegetarian tempeh chili, right?
I call it my uncomplicated chili con tempeh.
Okay, and it reflects your particular do's and don'ts how?
Well, it's an extreme departure from the original Texas-style chili. Mine has beans, tomatoes, and tempeh, a fermented, textured soybean cake.
All right.
And, you know, my kind of guiding muse or when I was thinking about preparing this dish, I was thinking about my cousin Andy, who's a rabid meat eater. And so I wanted to ensure that this chili would be sumptuous enough for him to really get into it. So
it's very hearty.
It is.
I wanted to be hearty, you know, just kind of like parred down. So I took tempeh, cut it into cubes, and then fried that in a little olive oil just to give it some texture. And, you know, my kind of base for it.
Yeah, it's really flavorful.
What's the base?
Caramelized onion, chili powder, ground cumin, coarse sea salt, and then added some jalapenos, garlic cloves, a little chipotle pepper, and adobo sauce. Then the tomatoes, some balsamic vinegar, and some freshly made vegetable
Fabulous.
Stock.
Now, Brian, this does not have to be cooked for a very long time, although you could, right? Unlike Melissa's, that really needs a long, long time to make the meat soft, right?
One could cook it for a long time. It actually doesn't need to be cooked for longer than an hour, just enough so that the tempeh soaks up some of the juices and
it
starts to thicken a little bit.
Yeah, it's
Absolutely
really good.
Fantastic.
You know, Melissa, you were talking about yours not having any beans and that being the purest version of chili, but most people, I myself grew up, and every single time I ate chili, it had beans in it.
Right, and that's the thing. I've actually changed my chili philosophy. This is how I started with this. When I first started making chili, this was my chili. It was this purest chili. And then I met my husband, and he's a bean guy. He grew up in Denver. He likes beans, and he likes ground beef in his chili. So I've adapted, and now I like it always.
Brian, I am anti-tomato. in chili.
Uh-huh.
No tomatoes. Absolutely. Everything is like carrots, any vegetable. But you can do peppers, and you definitely do chilies, but no tomato. You do stock, and you make kind of a mole. So what I like to do is maybe a little more traditionally Mexican, but it has nothing to do with chili, probably.
Right. But that's probably that was probably how chili developed, right? I'm assuming it was sort of based on a mole?
You know, that's what I think of chili.
So, right?
Brian, and tell me what you think about this. I think of chili as America's version of the bolognese, where you take vegetables and meat and cook it into some sort of sauce that you then put on rice. What do you think?
I agree. It's a quintessential American comfort food. And, you know, this is one of my childhood favorites. I was actually thinking about an article that Melissa wrote in the Times a couple years ago talking about grilled cheese sandwiches and just hearkening back to that childhood favorite. And for me, growing up, my mom would always make, you know, as our kind of winter comfort food, chili, lots of tomatoes, lots of ground beef. So
and
this
it is,
was kind of the inspiration.
Food. I mean, it's associated with the harvest on some level, I think for everyone probably, wouldn't you say?
Right, because you're taking the chilies and you've dried them, you're getting them ready for the winter. Yep.
Well, all these recipes on our website, thetakeaway.org. Melissa Clark, takeaway contributor and food writer for our partner, the New York Times, and Bryant Terry, takeaway contributor and author of The Vegan Soul Kitchen, fresh, healthy, and creative African-American cuisine. You can share your recipes for chili at thetakeaway.org. So please, we keep them coming.
Or try these recipes.
Right, indeed. Melissa and Brian, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, chili for breakfast. Good. Yes, we've been getting some great recipes already. Sue in New York emails us this really interesting recipe for, get this, cashew chili with cashew sour cream that's also completely vegan. Seems like the secret ingredient is maple syrup.
Adam in Milwaukee writes on Facebook his recipe for bachelor's chili with ground turkey. Add minced garlic, crushed red pepper, and diced onions and spice to taste. My favorite recipe for chili also includes ground turkey. And the secret ingredient there is instant hot chocolate mix.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, I do chocolate in moles, you know, because that's a traditional Mexican
ingredient.
Yeah, and
ingredient. Habanero and, peppers exactly, in mine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe chili was invented by guys in dorms in college who had, like, perpetual stew. Did you ever have perpetual stew on the...
No,
on the
that sounds
it's just
awful.
Cans of stuff that you just do every day, a new can.
Ugh.
Looks like chili by the end.
Eri in San Francisco writes his family's secret gun, unsweetened dark chocolate. So, yeah, if you can make your own chili powder, even better. It uses lots and lots of different chilies, cumin and oregano as well. And Jerome emails us his recipe for his winning chili recipe. Also, again, chopped turkey meat instead of beef. We're going to have all of those up on our website. But we're interested in knowing what your recipe is for chili. And are you a purist? Do you use beans or not? Let us know. 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
If you don't use beans, we're going to make a list and send it to the government.
And Detroiters, settle this for me. Right. What's the purism over the chili that they use on the Coney dogs? I'm interested in that, too.
Yeah. Well, if we get an answer, you know, we'll give it to you by the end of the show. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Celeste Headley. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.